Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Chandogya Upanishad, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
We are recording from the ashram of our revered Guru, Pujya Atman Shri Swami Jyotirmayananda in Miami, Florida. And tonight, Swamiji will lecture on Chandogya Upanishad. And now, Pujya Atman Shri Swami Jyotirmayananda.
Om Apyayantu Mamangani Vak Pranah Chakshu Shotram Atho Balam Indriyani Shasarvani Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam Mama Brahma Nirakaro Anirakaranam Astu Arinakaranam Mestu Tadatmani Nirate Ye Upanishatsu Dharma Te Mayi Santu Te Mayi Santu Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. The peace chant which has been explained to you before. And we continue with the topic, the highlights. Presently, I am coming to the chapter 8 and section 4. Rather, make a little correction, chapter 8 and section 8. The further correction. This chapter 8, that's all. And fourth section has not concluded. This is the last of the fourth section. Tad yavai evaitam brahmalokam brahmacharyena anuvindanti tesham evaisha brahmalokah tesham sarveshu lokeshu kamacharo bhavati. Those who strive to attain this brahmaloka by brahmacharya, to them belongs this brahmaloka. They have freedom to move through all the lokas according to their will. These are allegorical writings. Sages are using an artistic language how to bring the transcendental truth to a mind that is conditioned. To give you a very simple illustration. When a 5-6-year-old child comes to you and asks, you are professor of geography and all that, can you tell me how does it rain? Now you will have to use a device to reach the child. You cannot give exactly the same answer that you would have given to the students in your school, college, wherever. And that will depend upon your art. Otherwise, child will grow up and will complain against you. You have been teaching me lies. Just for the sake of joke. Brahmacharya term. Popularly, it is always used for people who have taken the vow of celibacy. And generally it is, life is put into four classes, four stages. The first stage up to 20, 25 year old is a stage of discipline. These stages are called ashrams, brahmacharya ashram. The next stage is grihastha ashram. Now, you enter into a household life, but on the foundation of discipline, purpose, and a goal. So you started your life with discipline. And the third stage, vanaprastha ashram, you go into a forest, literal meaning, forest dwelling. But all these are allegorical. The last stage, sannyasa ashram. become completely immersed in a religious order, sannyasa. But the tradition has its own value, and society will continue to follow the tradition. But if you want to understand profoundly, that understanding will enable you to practice your sadhana in a profounder way. Brahmacharya means, charya comes from the term charan, chara, acharan, conduct. The conduct that will lead you to Brahman. Brahman is the goal, the absolute self. So this entire movement towards realizing Brahman is practice of Brahmacharya. It is in that, from that point of view, Brahmacharya has been used in this section. Those who have strived to attain this Brahmaloka, here again, Brahmaloka has been used in an allegorical way. Attaining Brahman is not a loka, it's not a region, it is not a some mystic world plane for easy understanding. Brahman is like the sun. Sun is one without a second. And all the illuminations of the sun touching this earth planet, all the illuminations are expressions of Brahman. So Brahman is all this, the sun and all that has emanated. All that has emanated from the sun, they are in different categories, different levels. Sun shining through soft clouds, creating shimmering expression. The sun creating rainbows. Come down further, the sun manifesting the form of countless reflected suns. Each plane is called a loka. Put it in your practical world. Deep down, you are pure consciousness. Your mind will say, consciousness of what? Consciousness in itself, just pure consciousness. It's like the sky, the absolute sky. Chirakash. But something has happened mystical. You are not rooted in that awareness, I am pure consciousness. That consciousness creates in your unconscious plane activities of the chitta, unconscious mind. All those activities within your unconscious mind are sustained by that consciousness. So there is a loka. Again, the loka term gives lot of erroneous concepts in people. Loka means literally world system. And as the general masses, whenever they talk about Brahmaloka, the head goes up. Must be somewhere beyond the stars. Bhurloka, head goes down. This is Bhurloka. Bhurloka, arms spread. All the Bhurloka, akash. From here to the astral sky. Swarloka, beyond the sky. The three lokas. But you don't have the capacity to go everywhere. You are localized in a loka, you are loco. I'm having some possibility to move into other lokas and then come back. Put it in a more practical way. When you are aware of food, drink and pleasures of the senses in a physical plane, it's called Bhurloka. When you live in a world of your sentiments, feelings, imaginations, fancies, all the artistic world, that's vast world. Now you are in Bhurloka. When you enter into a world of thought, understanding, intellectual glory. That's again as a tremendous loka. the world lived in by great scientists, thinkers. But even that world of big scientists becomes little when you come to understand the world that is pure consciousness, the world that is leading you to Brahman, the absolute. The profounder study of unconscious is not in the grip of science. It goes beyond. So that's Swarloka. The reality is beyond. All these three lokas, everyone experiences little or more. In your three states of consciousness, waking, you are more in Bhurloka. Bhurloka predominates. In dream, Bhurloka predominates. In deep sleep, Swarloka predominates. And you go on moving in these three levels. All the time, you have not been separated from the reality, transcendental. That reality, Brahman, that remains ever the same. Live through these lokas. Live your life for realizing I am the sun. I am not the body. The body is not my reality. I am not the world of senses. Senses can make me senseless. But senses do not devour me. I am not in the realm of mind. Living in a realm of mind, you are living in on the waves of the ocean. Mind is never constant. It flows on. Beyond all this, I am the absolute. I am not the reflected suns. I am not the rainbows. I am not the shimmering clouds. I am the sun. This profound revelation, that's the goal of Upanishads, goal of all religions. But having realized that, it's another component of that realization, that all these lokas are radiations of the sun. Brahman alone is shining beyond all limitations. At the same time, it is Brahman who is manifesting through past, present, future, time, space, causation, through all this world of multiplicity. When you have that state of experience, that's perfect, that's the goal. And that's all, this is the essence of practice of Brahmacharya. The very beginning, therefore, your mind must grasp that you are not the physical body. You are neither man nor woman, neither male nor female. Body has its differences. You, as a soul led by karma, you have been in male body countless times. You have been in female body countless times. Therefore, no matter which body you are, you carry both elements, motherly, fatherly. No one is full 100% father. No one is 100% mother. Sometimes fathers are more mother. Mothers are more father. So you are not the body. Body is your just a tool, allowing you to evolve. That understanding is the basis of Brahmacharya. And now we'll get into chapter 8, section 5. Atha yad yaksh yajna kya chakshate brahmacharyameva tat brahmacharyena yeva yogyata tam vindavindate. What is called yajna? That is brahmacharya only. Yajna term relates to sacrifice. Practicing any sadhana implies that you should sacrifice the lower self and sublimate it That again has become misunderstood by the masses. So whenever they talk of sacrifice, they begin to think of which goat, which animal. But that's the mass level reality. The deeper reality, anger, hate, greed, how to sacrifice, how to sublimate your negative into positive. Because all your negative impurities, evils within you, they are short-circuited divine energy. Like electricity becomes short-circuited due to some reason in your house. And short-circuited electricity causes a lot of damage. It burns down your house with all the memories of your past. This crude way of saying, but. So the project of yajna is to have a constant effort involved in sublimating the negative within you. The malas. Malas that are kama, perverted desires, krodha, anger, lobha, greed, mada, conceit, matsarya, jealousy. All these are called malas, gross impurities. As you go on sublimating them, that whole process is yajna. So that this yajna is brahmacharya. The more you cut down your negative mala, the more you are coming closer to Brahman. And what people call worship, atyad ishtam iti, ya vakshate brahmacharyameva tat, brahmacharyena yesha ishtva, atmanam anuvindate. And what people call worship is brahmacharya only. For worshipping with brahmacharya, one attains Brahman. The first point was focused on removing mala. Next, removing vikshepa, subtle distractions of your mind. For that, worship, upasana, recitation of Ishta Mantra, all these are instructions are given. All these have their purpose, leading you to Brahman. From another point of view, the more you understand that is my goal, realizing Brahman, then your sadhana becomes increasingly qualitative and profound. But if your sadhana is led by a mind that expects, since I am doing all this japa, God owes to me, so he must give. As a result, you have done 10,000 mantras, he must at least give me a month of good time. Then that's not brahmacharya, no matter how disciplined you are. But you are doing the same with the intention of purifying your heart. How can I come closer to God? How can I stay with profound feeling? How am I to let my mind be free from the grip of agitation, depression, boredom, emptiness, vanities, bitterness?
Namaste, Swamiji. To enter that space of concentration, I often use mantra. But I seem not to find that bridge between the mantra and meditation, because even when I tap into that silence, the mantra seems to be repeating on the back. It's like I'm not conscious about repeating it, but I try to even let go of the mantra to find those spaces of silence in between thoughts. So sometimes becomes the thought, the mantra, and the silence. And the question is okay for the mantra to even stay there?
Let things happen in a spontaneous way. greater the spontaneity, better you are on the right course. The moment you begin to look for when to stop the mantra, when to get into just meditation, you are creating a line of demarcation. By creating that, you are creating more problem. It's just like if you are going to sleep, and if your mind has a kind of calculation that now I'm going to 10% sleep, then you go to 20%, then you won't sleep at all. So mantra lead, let the mantra lead you and let the mantra stay even while you are meditating. Once you become involved in a deeper silence, mantra will automatically fade away. If it never fades away, it doesn't matter. You are being enriched. You have nothing to lose.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take over now.